WPFW presents Still We Rise, our 48th anniversary celebration on Friday, April 25th from 7 until 11 p.m. at Martin's Crosswinds in Greenbelt, Maryland. Entertainment will be provided by vocalist Navasha Dea and her trio, and WPFW programmers and poets Esther Averam and Zain El Amin. The evening includes an award ceremony, dinner, and dancing to the music of DJ James Funk. That's Still We Rise, WPFW's 48th anniversary celebration. Details at WPFWFM.org.
Gold Mary in the bag and tied around my neck for my protection. I'm walking around, big old sack on my back, coming in your direction. What kind of tea do you like? I got it. I'm the medicine man, earth from the land, yeah. Oh, I'm the earth man, come see me. I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Hey, rosemary, calm your nerves, got peppermint leaf to get rid of my fever. I keep periwinkle to get some love now. Whoa, I gotta hug me clothes to make my backbone strong. Gold cola tonic for my blood, dandelion for my bones, y'all. I can leave to keep away flies. Hot Lady Cayenne for my pressure. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Get the children out the way now. No, you can't smoke this, sir. This is for salad. Yes, for salad. Herb man, herb man, herb man.
And good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of To Your Health. To Your Health is a program designed not only to inform, but to also turn your life and health around. I am Dr. Theodore Watkins, the host of To Your Health, and I'm here with my able, trusty assistant, Mr. Frank Smith. How are you doing, Brother Frank?
I'm doing well, Doc. Thank you for asking.
All right, all right. You know, Brother Frank, we love to eat. And that's good, but the problem that most of us have is that we love to eat the wrong things.
Oh yeah.
And we say that the foods that we should be eating really don't taste good. First of all, Brother Frank, taste should not determine our life expectancy. I was reading an article, and you may have seen it just last week, where cigarette smoking is not the number one cause of death in this country now. It's diet. Diet, the foods that we eat are what's killing us. So taste should not be the main thing that determines that life expectancy, but for the most part, it does, all right? But the second thing is that we can determine how our foods taste by what we season them with, all right? And so, well, that's one part of it. The other part is the kind of things you pick. For instance, if you pick organic over inorganic, conventionally, that just by itself improves the taste, but we won't go there right now. But today, you know, I asked one of our resident nutritionists, the brilliant, talented Dr. Ruby Lathan, to join us and help us as we explore this thing I call the science of seasoning. The science of seasoning. Now, y'all don't steal my book. Welcome, Dr. Ruby.
Hello, hello. Good to be back. And yes, this is one of my favorite topics. So,
and you have done, you know, as if anyone who looks on your website will see, you have done so much to really demonstrate that foods can taste good and at the same time be good, you know. So when you first set out to develop menus or food planning, what's some of the first things that go through your mind?
Right. So first, it's like, what, you know, we're dealing with plant-based, right? So it's like,
of course,
how are we going to really liven up these vegetables or whatever, you know, beans, whatever we're doing to make them satisfying, right? To make them kind of hit that spot where you feel satisfied. So we want to make sure the meal is balanced. But when it comes to seasoning, so I'm thinking balanced, we're definitely going to have some higher protein foods like our beans, our nuts, our seeds, and a little bit of fat with things like, you know, our beans, nuts, and seeds also have fat in them. So those definitely help. But then it's like, okay, now that we're balancing, we've got our greens, we've got our higher protein foods, how are we going to season it? And it's like, which direction are we going? Because we basically have four flavor profiles, you know, sweet, salty, bitter, and sour, right? And then we also have umami, and that's another flavor profile that really brings things up. So I'm thinking, which direction are we going? Are we going more on the sweet side or the savory? I'm more of a savory person, so I'm going to use seasonings that bring out things that have a really big depth of flavor. So that's things like, for me, some of my favorites are like smoked paprika or tamari, which is like a soy sauce, but a little better in terms of the way that it's fermented. So I'm thinking about that. And then I'm also balancing salt, not adding too much salt, because some of those things already have salt in them. So I'm thinking with that, you know, how do we bring out the flavor? And there's a lot of ways to bring out the flavor in food, not over seasoning it, and we're not covering it up. We're bringing out the flavor.
You know, I mentioned it, and as I was talking, it sort of came to me as an afterthought, but it's really very, very important. And that is, when we shop for foods, we need to learn how to shop so that we buy foods that taste good, you know, and that, I mentioned right. Several times recently that Jethro Kloss in his book, Back to Eden, says that we should buy foods that's grown in our local environments and been allowed to ripen on the vine, ripen on the vine. And it's that ripening on the vine that helps to give the foods its taste. But so many of the foods are picked way away from us,
yeah.
And they're picked before they're ripe, because, you know, otherwise they would rot as they're shipped and it just sit on the shelf. And so, you know, we can't lose money, you know, over a little taste. And so we bring these foods it's terrible. The quality. I mean, there's certain foods that I just, you know, strawberries. We just threw out several things of strawberries today. Mm. Why they didn't taste good, and and they were organic, Doc.
Huh.
You know,
yeah. So expensive strawberries being thrown out is not good.
Not good. It's not good.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, I like my food to taste good and also be good.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm going to be shopping at some different places to try to get better quality food. And the good thing is, you know, we have these what do you call them?
Farmers markets.
Farmers markets.
Yeah, I was going to say that because those are more, they're picked when they're ripe and you can get a much better, they taste better than the grocery store. And I'm like, I would bet rather, and they're cheaper, patronize those people because they're taking the risk. If they don't sell all of that, you know, shortly, it's going to spoil. So it's like, you know, that food at the farmer's market, the vegetables taste so much better. And you want to go ahead and prep it right away because, you know, they are ripe, right? And if you're not going to eat it, you know, within like 2 days, 2 to 3 days, you should, you know, chop it up and freeze it for a later time because that's really, you're getting the best nutrition from that. And it does taste better, especially the tomatoes from the farmer's market and the fruit. It just tastes better because it's grown right here and it's not been sitting somewhere for a while.
So our parents, and especially our grandparents, you know, they used to do a lot of canning of foods.
Mm-hmm.
Because they would use that principle. They would get it when it's ripe,
uh-huh.
and they would can it right. so that they would have it when they were ready to eat it, you know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But now, absolutely. In addition to the canning, we can freeze it because they didn't have
as consistent refrigeration.
Yes.
Yeah, so you could definitely freeze it and then vacuum seal it. Those little vacuum sealers are very cheap. Or just seal it as best you can in your container, a glass container, and then wrap it in saran wrap. Will keep it really fresh if you don't have a sealer, you know, just to keep the air out. That's really good. And canning is not that hard with the jars. It's pretty easy with the mason jars. So there's videos everywhere on how to do that. So it's not a difficult process. But if you're like, I'm not doing all the canning, freezing is very easy. So you can definitely do that. And you know, you can still have it 3 months, you know, and use that, especially if you wrap it up so it doesn't get the freezer burn. It's a great way to patronize the farmer's market and get fresh food at the same time.
So, Brother Frank, I mean, that sounds like a lot of work, man. Are you worth
that?
Is your life a value? Sufficient that you would be willing to spend a little time preparing, buying good foods and preparing them for tomorrow and next week?
Yes, definitely. And my family is worth it. You know, I can't emphasize enough how much there's value in health, you know. Good health. I mean, you need to be sick for an extended amount of time and very sick to appreciate how being healthy is.
well, I don't know, Brother Frank. I mean, you would think that would be true, but I deal with sick people all the time who still, Dr. Ruby, they still are hard-headed. You know, I mean, I don't understand it, you know. I mean, I don't know. For some reason, I like feeling good, you know.
Yeah.
I like for people to tell me, Doc, you don't look like you aging, you know.
All right.
And I, you know, praise the Lord, and I'm on no medication.
Yeah. Probably why you're not aging like that.
So. You know, and so getting people to think properly is very important. And then once you start thinking right, then you can start going and shopping right and then start planning those foods. So you like savory. And what kinds of things go with savory?
So I like savory with a little bit of smokiness and a little bit of heat. So a little cayenne pepper goes a long way for bringing out flavors.
Oh, I love cayenne.
We're trying to really get a nice palette of food. So we're talking about I usually might put a pinch of that. I mentioned my smoked paprika. I mentioned I love miso, like miso paste or the tamari. Mm-hmm. Those things add a lot of depth of flavor. And then from there, it depends on what we're making. If we're making more of an Italian dish, you know, you have your oregano and rosemary and those kind. I have a full cabinet of seasonings, lots and lots of seasonings, because you need a lot of seasonings. I mean, we start with our base though, garlic, right? Garlic and onion. That's going to just smell good just off the rip, right? Just like garlic and onion. And then, but garlic powder and onion powder bring a lot of flavor out. So for example, if I'm making a rice dish or like a quinoa dish, because a lot of people like, I don't like quinoa, I season the water that it's going to soak up. So I'm going to put garlic powder, onion powder, probably a bay leaf, and a little bit of salt or tamari in that seasoning water, so that when the rice is done or the quinoa is done, it already tastes good because it's pre-seasoned. So now, whenever I'm adding to it, I don't have to work that hard to season up the rice or season up the quinoa, because it already has the flavors in it that I want. And that's like no work, you know, just season the water. I also use a little seaweed kombu if I have that and put it in there, similar to the bay leaf, but it brings out a little more flavor. So you can start with that. Just your basic, you got to have your smoked paprika, garlic powder, onion powder, some tamari, and if you want to get fancy with it, get some miso paste, which is in the section of the store that's where the Asian food is, where you can find tempeh and tofu.
Frank, are you taping this, man?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
And this is why I do cooking classes, Doc, because people need to see how it's done.
Yeah. It's one thing to hear it, but when you put your hands in it, you know,
right?
It really makes a difference. And we're gonna find out when your next class.
Yeah. Well, you know, they can also just order it for me, because you know, people like, oh, you know, I love your cooking class, but can you make the food? So that's what I do. You know, you can actually order this deliciously seasoned food with my recipes, you know, from my website already prepared for you. Wait a
minute. In your degree in engineering.
It is. That's probably why I'm what you're also doing, a good
you're cook. Engineering foods now, huh?
Yes, I am. I'm engineering, like, how do we get, you know my story. When I was recovering from cancer, I had to learn how to eat differently. So I had to learn how to season food that I didn't necessarily like that much, right? So I'm like, if I'm going to be eating cabbage and broccoli and rice and, you know, all these things that are really good for you, then I want it to taste really good. So that's why I learned how to season with healthy seasonings, and it does really taste good. And it's definitely doable.
So now it's interesting, because when I went away to your academy, Oakwood Academy, way back in the day,
right?
You know, the first time I went through the line, you know, the cafeteria matron, Mrs. Richardson, said, "Give me that plate back," and she put vegetables on my plate. Now, I was a vegetarian, all right.
Uh-huh.
I had been a vegetarian since age 10, but I was a vegetarian that didn't eat vegetables, all right? And as I look at it now, there are certain things I didn't like. I didn't like onions. I didn't like garlic. You know, the things that really added to the flavor of the foods, I had rejected. But now that I've learned to appreciate those things, the vegetables taste good. But we did a thing a few weeks ago on the cruciferous vegetables and lutein, zeaxanthin that come from these and dementia. And so, you know, afterwards I started steaming, because they said that you get more of the lutein and zeaxanthin in cooked broccoli or cooked collard greens than in eating it raw. And so I started steaming them,
uh-huh, uh-huh.
You know, and just a little bit of water. I didn't put any seasonings in them, Doc.
Mm-hmm.
And I had two helpings.
Okay.
And I'm not a broccoli man, you know?
Right.
The point was that the part of the seasoning process is to also do the right kind of cooking.
Right, right. That's what I was going to say. It's like with vegetables, the reason I didn't like a lot of them is because they were overcooked and they were mushy. Yeah. And under seasoned, especially the kind you get in a cafeteria, right? So when I want my string beans crunchy and my broccoli bright green and crunchy, I just boil some water, dip it in there for like 2 to 3 minutes after I've even turned it off. It's cooked, it's bright green, it's been cooked, but it's still crunchy and delicious. And you just season it with a little sea salt, you know, and then if you like it spicy, little sriracha, you know, and you're good to go. It's like, it doesn't take that long. Literally, you boil water, dip your string beans or your broccoli or whatever it is in there for 3 minutes, let it sit and then drain it, pull them out. They're ready to go and they're not mushy and they still have that crunch and they're not gray looking. They're still bright green. We overcook the vegetables and so then they don't taste good. That's why I didn't used to like Brussels sprouts because they used to be so mushy and just gross. But yeah. Now we air fry them, we, you know, roast them. Roasting really brings out the flavor in a lot of vegetables too. So putting it in the oven, when you roast it, all you do is just cut them up, add your seasonings, maybe a little bit of olive oil spray so the seasonings will stick, put it in the oven, you know, 20, 30 minutes, they're done and they have this nice flavor on them. You put your garlic powder, I like a little spice, so I'll put a little heat on it, you know, but the roasting brings out a different flavor from boiling. Do not boil your vegetables, okay? That is like the worst, to me, it's the worst way to cook a vegetable.
Worst thing you can do.
Yeah, because it just takes all the flavor in the water.
The flavor is going down the sink.
Yeah, and now it's just a mushy mess. So, yeah, I wouldn't do that. So don't. And they used to boil vegetables. It's like, that's the worst way to cook. A little steaming is good if you want to put it in a little, colander and steam it. Or like I said, sauteing is another easy way to keep the flavor because vegetables don't need that much cooking because they're not going to kill you. There's no, you know, we're not cooking out the blood, right? So we just have to cook them enough to soften them up and bring out some flavor. So sauteing them with your seasoning in it brings it out. Roasting is another type of flavor that brings it out. And then the blanching, if you really want it crispy and bright, that's one way. And it's not hard. It's very simple. You really can't mess up blanching vegetables. It's like you set a 3-minute timer, you put them in there and you take them out.
This is Dr. Theodore Watkins. The program is To Your Health. Our guest today is Dr. Ruby Lathan. Well, she's not really a guest. She's back home today with us, helping us to understand this thing of cooking. And we started a couple of weeks ago, and Paula helped us get us started. But we had to bring the doc on to add too, because she is a master chef. The number here, if you have questions or comments, is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Frank, I must be eating more broccoli, man. I didn't forget the phone number today. So the broccoli and collard greens works. So Dr. Ruby, so once you, if you you know, want to eat, say a different style, do you recommend going to the internet and looking, taking advantage of some of the stuff on YouTube, or going to your website and checking that out too?
Absolutely, you want to experiment with things, you know, especially if you kind of know your palate. I mean, my videos are on YouTube too, so absolutely go to YouTube. Oh, yeah. But yes, you want to experiment, you know, with different flavors, because there's so many people who like, well, I don't like this, or they'll be afraid to try something. I'm like, it's not gonna bite you. Just try it, you know? Especially when you're eating out, you could try something different just to see. But yeah, there's a lot you can do with like mushrooms and seaweed and different things that bring out flavor. But you probably, if you're not a well-established cook, it's a good idea to get a cookbook like the one mine that's coming out on May 5th, so that you learn how to season until you get a hang of it. So there's a lot of good things on the web that I would say absolutely try it, so you can learn how to use different seasonings. You know, some you may not have heard of or you're just not familiar with. And then get into different types of food. Like sometimes I like Indian seasoning, so I'm going to use the curry powders and things like that. You know, sometimes I like more Jamaican type flavor, so you're going to get some of the jerk seasoning or the adobo spices. You know, so you want to mix it
So
up.
you can have jerk seasoning without jerk chicken?
Absolutely, with the thing that makes a jerk is the seasoning. You can make anything with that flavor, right? Especially if you have like you know, tofu or soy curls, which is just soy flour that is in a nice texture. You can season that up just like you would jerk chicken, and it tastes just as good.
All right. This is to your health. I'm Dr. Theodore Watkins. The number here is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Let's go to our phones. Just call her. You're on the line.
Good afternoon, Dr. Watkins and Dr. Lathan. I have a couple questions. I'd like the answer for people with cardiovascular disease. Is it okay to have olive oil or not? And if so, how much? And the second question is, I've been in the health food store and I've noticed organic purple rice, which I had not seen before. Could you give me some information about that? And whether or not it is as healthy as brown rice or the equivalent in health to wild rice. Thank you.
Yes. So when you're dealing with cardiovascular, I'll let Doc answer that as well. You really want to go more no oil when you're dealing with heart disease. The amount of olive oil that I'm speaking about is less than 5 calories because it's a spritz over the food. It's a spray. You're not going to get any significant amount of fat from that. So that's what I'm talking about with the spray. Now, if you just go to town with the spray, you'll eventually get too many calories. But when you do a light spritz, it's literally less than 5 calories. So, but if you're dealing with heart disease, you really want to go toward the no oil and manage your fats and things like that. But I'll answer the purple rice is just as good. Actually, it's better than brown rice. It has more protein. The flavor to me is even better. And it's delicious. So you can cook it just like rice, but I have a no cook recipe for purple rice. It only works with the purple rice where you just put very warm or hot water and you let it sit for about 5 to 8 hours and it soaks up that water, cracks open like it's been cooked. And now you have purple rice that you can use in any dish and it tastes just the same, if not better. So I have several, no cook purple rice recipes. And so I put
So is
mango, chopped mango, bell pepper, cilantro in there. It's a delicious dish, but yes.
that one in your book too?
That is in the book that is coming out. Yes. Yes. I had to put the black rice recipe in there. So like a black rice pilaf. Yeah, with the mango flavor. It's delicious. So it's about learning how to combine foods too.
In terms of the cardiovascular, fat is a killer. All right. Now, we've been taught that animal fat, saturated fat, is bad. But I learned way back in the 90s that actually the number one cause of heart disease is not saturated fat, is total fat. And so for a while you have to get all the fat out of your diet. If you check out the work of Dr. Esselstyn Caldwell Esselstyn at Cleveland Clinic, he takes all the fat out the diet, even the good fat, the plant-based fat. Now, where we differ is he never puts it back, whereas I believe that once you clean those vessels out, that you can have good fat. And so Dean Ornish and I sort of agree on that, that you can't, you can put it back. But once you clean those, I was talking to one of my pastors today who's on my program, his church is on my program, and he's done so well, you know, and so he was describing what he was eating. And I hated Dr. Ruby to burst his bubble, but he was talking about the olive oil and so forth. Uh-huh. And he's about, he's a bit overweight still. And his diabetes is improving significantly, but it's not reversed yet. And so I said, you can't, you know, you have to understand there are three basic, what you call them, energy sources, the protein, the carbohydrates, and the fats, you know, but the fat has twice the calories of protein or carbohydrates. And when we talk about carbohydrates, we're not talking about refined carbohydrates. We're talking about the whole, the unprocessed carbohydrates, the fresh fruits, the fresh vegetables, the whole grains. That's what we're talking about. And so you need to eliminate the fat from your diet initially, and then you can add it back.
All right, thank you.
You're more than welcome. The number is 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Yes, caller, you're on the line. Did we miss that caller? All right. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Yes, being concerned with pesticides.
Uh-huh.
And eating a lot of rice. They were talking about starch and sugars. How much natural sugar is in rice and natural starch is in rice? And we know that you must wash it real well. And how do you avoid the pesticides that they're putting in our foods, or how do you detect that where you're going to get your food has pesticides in it?
Well, how you detect, how you know whether there's pesticides or not is really buying organic. So that's the whole point of organic food is that it's grown without pesticides. So supposedly, and we're trusting the process for now, when the label says organic, that means there is no pesticides in it.
Isn't there something called certified organic?
Yes, yes. And also, when you're looking at your fruit and your produce in the grocery store, if the little 5 or 6-digit number starts with 9, that means it's organic. So if it starts with like a 4 or 3, that means something else, some genetically modified, some just not organic or quote traditionally grown. So organic is going to mean there it's not grown with any pesticides, nothing in it has pesticides, not the soil, and they didn't spray it. So that's how you know whether your food has pesticides or not. Now, some, like at the farmer's market, they'll say it was grown without pesticides, but they can't call it organic because you have to get this certification, which costs a lot for farms to get. So you, again, you're kind of trusting that they're saying they didn't grow it without pesticides. You'll even see some foods labeled like that, grown without pesticides, meaning they didn't go through the process, but they did grow it without pesticides. Otherwise, if it says nothing, you can probably assume that it has some pesticides. So, but when it comes to eating vegetables and fruit, just eat the fruit until you can afford the organic. It's still going to be protective and healthy for you. Now, you can, to get a lot of the pesticides off, the best method is putting it in water with a little bit of baking soda. That's shown to get quite a bit of the pesticides residue that's on the outside of the vegetables or the fruit off. So putting like a teaspoon of baking soda in a big bowl of water and putting your vegetables in there and letting it sit for a few minutes, and then rinsing gets the residue off. It also gets dirt and germs off because people have been handling those things. So I would say that would be the best way. And then
now about rice and starch and sugar. Does rice produce its own sugar? And I know about starch, but does it produce its own sugar?
Yeah, it has starch that can turn to sugar when eaten. What has been shown, though, is that when you refrigerate rice overnight, the starch content goes way down. So once you cook it, refrigerate it, and then reheat it, that starch content goes way down. So, of course, we want to rinse the rice first, and that gets a little off. But, refrigerating, reheating it brings it down as well. But the best way to do it, if you're worried about the sugars, is to combine it with vegetables. That fiber from the vegetables is going to kind of blunt that sugar uptake. Also, when you add a higher protein source, like some seeds or nuts to that, that also blunts the uptake of sugars. So basically, we're saying eat balanced, then you're going to not have to worry about the sugar uptake. I mean, most people are not getting fat because they're eating too much rice. They're getting fat because they're eating starchy carbohydrates that have sugar, the donuts, the crackers, the things like that. Mm-hmm. So that would help, combining it with other balanced foods.
But Doc, aren't we a little miseducated? If I remember my biochem correctly, just about all our foods are converted into sugar. Mm-hmm. And so I think the advertisers have misused that and got people thinking that eating carbohydrates are bad. But all of our, the majority of our foods are carbohydrates and they're converted into sugar. But the body knows how to use them properly, mm-hmm. especially if you buy the right kinds of foods,
Right. So, yeah, there's a lot of misinformation about that. People are afraid to even eat fruit because it has sugar. But we're eating Pop-Tarts for breakfast that actually has the added sugar is the problem. So the real issue isn't the carbs and the vegetables and things like that. It's the carbs that are added unnaturally with the processed sugar and the added sugars. That's the problem. But when we eat balanced meals that's full of fiber, the body does know what to do with those starches and sugars.
Hey, Doc, I bought a tomato the other day and it had the little green bug, a little green animal in the stem. Is that a good sign?
they have bugs on them?
So it's like a little worm or something on there that's still like alive.
Yeah, like a little lizard, like a little green lizard.
you have a vivid imagination. But check this out. If you there are certain foods you buy, those bugs will never touch them. All right?
That's what I'm asking. Yeah. You said
yeah, so that's a good thing, basically.
If the bugs want them, the bugs have more sense than we have. And they know what's good. And so you wash those things off.
The bug was a blessing.
You enjoy,
If the bug is there, it is a good sign, I would say.
Yeah, have a blessed week.
Okay.
excellent question. Brother Frank, we have a guest. Why don't we take the guest now? And then let Dr. Ruby wrap up. You want to introduce our guest?
All right. We have Michelle Tingling on, and she's going to announce her event that's highlighting women and Black farmers. Michelle Tingling, are you there? Unmute yourself. All right.
Well,
I told her 2:45. There she is.
Yes, I'm so sorry. Good afternoon. It's been great hearing this conversation as always, Doc. And I love hearing your guests because I've heard her before. and she gave me some tips about blanching that I really appreciate. Yes, we're having what we're calling Gray Panthers of Metropolitan Washing is hosting what we're calling Herstory in Bloom. It's a tea party celebrating Black women, celebrating women's legacy, but it's in celebration of National Black Women's History Month.
Mm-hmm.
So turns out there's a month for everything.
When is this going to be?
It's going to be on Sunday, April 27th at the Josephine Butler Park Center on 15th Street. And what we're having is we're having a tea party, but it's really to celebrate the women's legacy and women's leadership. There'll be legacy leaders there like Denise Rolock Barnes. There'll be up and coming leaders there. Like, I don't know how many of you know Dominique Hazard, who used to be at DC Greens and is now finishing up her PhD at Johns Hopkins. And she helped with the Produce Plus program here in DC. But my co-convener happens to be a Black farmer, Marcus Robertson. And he's in another call right now. And I understand that you'll be talking with him next week. But as a result, we have a number of farmers who are urban gardeners. He was very active in setting up this, what's called Black Urban Gardeners. But as a result, we're gonna have a number of local Black farmers, and they're all very interested in helping to support the community with good produce, good locally grown produce, produce grown without pesticides, produce grown that's healthy. And so I know we have, as particularly in this era that we're going into now, we really want to look at the fact that we keep us safe. So that includes making sure that we have the things that we need to keep us safe, like healthy food, like good housing, like healthcare. And Gray Panthers, as many of you may or may not know, cut its teeth on fighting for not just Social Security, yes, but for National Health Service and now National Health Insurance. For people who are interested in coming and participating, which I really urge you to do, you can reach us by on our website, which is called Herstory by Gray Panthers, DC.com. That's Herstory, not history, but Herstory by Gray Panthers, DC.com. And again, I said the event is going to be April
27th. Spell it for them.
The three, I'm sorry.
Spell it for them.
Herstorybygraypanthers, DC.com. COM. So you need me to do that again?
One more time.
Herstory, DC, Herstorybygraypanthers.com.
Fantastic. Okay. And once again, it's going to be April the what? The 20th?
Sunday, April the 27th, the last Sunday in April.
All right.
At the Josephine Butler Park Center, which I don't know how many people know, but Josephine Butler was a major environmentalist, a fighter for DC statehood, and a major organizer for workers' rights here in the District of Columbia. So even the venue, you know, celebrates the mission of this tea party.
And
the time is 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Sunday.
Sounds like you are doing a fantastic job. That's exciting.
And the address again?
Is 2437 15th Street, Northwest.
2437. Okay, yeah.
Butler.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And I'm really, really excited. And we talked about sources of food, and you're going to... You're taking us right to the source.
Yeah. We encourage you to come.
All right. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. And thanks for the opportunity.
Our pleasure. So, Dr. Ruby, we got one of the things solved, you know, food grown in our local environment that allowed to ripen on the vine and plus by Black farmers.
Yes, absolutely. That's exactly what we want.
With no pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, all that stuff, those poisons, you know, that's really exciting. We just have a few more minutes. What are some of the other key points that you would recommend people understand as they go to prepare their foods to taste good and be good for you?
It's just as you would season your meat products. You take the same care and time to season your vegetables and you'll like them just as much. So you just have to learn the techniques of getting the right textures that you want, but it's very much doable. And we have to change our thinking about what real nutrition is and focus on the plant products on the plate because those are the healing foods.
That is exciting. I believe I saw Brother Sam hand up. were you trying to add something to our discussion, Brother Sam?
You're on mute.
We just have a couple minutes, but you know.
Okay, I'm on now.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I was going to mention something, and that is regarding the food for memory, dementia, or dopamine production. Guess which beans they are? Fava beans. They are called broad beans. Sometimes they are good for your brains. Check out on the website helpdementia.com, put fava.
Baba. All right. So in addition to your greens, your cruciferous vegetables, get some fava beans.
Yes.
And so that's one of the things that maybe we should talk more about, the types of the greens or the beans and so on, what they do, because sometimes people don't know or forget. This is medicinal. We're talking about literally medicinal type of approach.
Let food be your medicine.
That's it. So
food be your medicine.
The soil. If you have proper soil that has minerals not depleted by all these chemicals they add in so-called fertilizers, you're going to have, of course, the better type of foods, nutrition and all that.
Fantastic. We're hoping we also have someone coming on that's going to teach us how to actually do some gardening things, how to grow some of those spices and herbs. You know, even if we don't have a whole lot of space, you know, grow them in pots. And we just want to make sure if there's a last question, we just have a few minutes. The number is 202. It's too late.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I tried.
Yeah. We apologize to the callers that we left on call next week. Please listen. Dr. Ruby, can you list some of your services and your contact information?
Yes. So,
Well, wait a minute. If she lists her services, it'll take another program. She does so much.
No, quickly. I'll
list keep your top three.
Yeah.
So the best way to contact me is going to be through my website at rubylathan.com. And that's LATHON. So it's RUBYLATHON.com, rubylathan.com. And of course, I do holistic nutrition coaching and menu plans. So if you don't know what to eat, that's what I do, is to give you the recipes and the menu plan on what to do that, but also how to use those foods to help you heal naturally. But I also have a meal delivery service where the food is already prepared for you. And if you're within listening distance of this, we deliver to you every Sunday, goes out every Sunday morning, just order by Thursday. And then I have a cookbook that's coming out, a long-awaited on May 5th. I'm really excited about it. It's got all the good recipes that people have been trying over the years that are in my videos. So you can pre-order that right now on my website, rubylathon.com, RubyLathon.com.
Excellent.
For an engineer, you know, you're pretty smart.
Well, thank you.
you know, Dr. Lathan has a wealth of knowledge. You know her history. She left engineering after she cured herself. She cured herself. I had nothing to do with it. I didn't even know her at the time, of thyroid cancer. Went against her doctors and took care of herself. So she's smart as well as good looking and bright. So we're excited, and we got to have you back on with your book so we can go
can't wait
and really expose people to how to prepare the foods, you know. Mm-hmm. Because you know, that's really the key, you know.
Yeah.
My brother, when he was sick and I went to North Carolina, you know, the doctors wanted to amputate and he had all kinds of problems. I mean, I can't list all of them, you know. Mm-hmm. And the doctors wanted to amputate. I said, no. He said he's willing to change. And if he's willing to change, then we can save his foot. And it's been almost 5 years, Ruby, and he still has his foot.
That
was
great.
Gangrenous, but it was diet. And yeah. At one point he said to me, Rocky, you know, he called me Rocky, either your cooking is getting better or my taste buds are changing.
Right.
I said it was probably a little of both, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so we can get in the kitchen and we can learn how to prepare foods. And if you don't have the time or not ready to do that, you can contact Dr. Ruby and she will provide you. But whatever you need in order to become healthy, you know, I jokingly said, you know, in the beginning that you know, we aren't willing to change, but people are willing to change.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about that. And I see it, and I see people making progress as a result. Brother Frank, you got any parting words for us?
Thank you, Dr. Lathan, for being an able resident nutritionist and so much more. Thank you, Doc, for
Absolutely.
Having her and for presenting this show. You work for this show and for the station and for the people. If you want to contact Dr. Watkins, call 202-388-0992. Tuesdays through Thursdays, 10 to 5. And that's 202-388-0992. Or you can make an appointment at www.twiliving.com. That's www.twi for the Watkins Institute, living.com. twiliving.com. We also want to thank our able engineers. I think it was Cody today, but we also want to thank Mike and Kalia and we thank the acting general manager, that's Mayuki Williams, and the program director, Katia Stitt. We want to thank the programmers, the volunteers, and loyal listeners as well. Thank you, Oladari. And thank you, Maccabee, for your musical contributions. Stay tuned to WPFW. Next up is African Deep Thought Edition with Brother Kaba. Listen in next week at 2 o'clock for another life-changing, life-saving broadcast of To Your Health. Thank you so much. No fur, no fur, no fur.
dad. When I tell people I don't eat meat, fish or dairy, then look for me strangely. Then I realize I eat a very wide variety. Listen to Maccabee. Yo, how when me eat, them I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish nor no meat now. How when me eat, them I wonder when me yum. When me tell them, say that I'm a vegan man. How when me eat, them I wonder when me eat. When me tell them, say me no eat no fish nor no meat now. How when me eat, them I wonder when me yum. When me tell them, say that I'm a vegan. When me no eat no meat, no fish, no cheese, nah, no egg. Nothing with no foot, no eye, no wing, nah, no head. Nothing with no lip, no ears, no tongue, nah, no leg. Prefer fruit and vegetables instead.
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here are some headlines for this hour. President Trump met with the president of El Salvador, Nayib Bukele, at the White House today, almost 1 month after more than 200 men accused of being Venezuelan gang members were deported from the United States to a maximum security mega prison in El Salvador. One of the men deported is Kilmar Armando Abrego Garcia, a father of three who had been living in Maryland. In 2019, Mr. Garcia was granted protected status by an immigration judge that prohibited the federal government from sending him to El Salvador, and his attorneys say that he fled gang violence in that country more than a decade ago. The Trump administration admitted that Mr. Garcia's deportation was due to an administrative error, but they also claimed that he's a criminal and member of the MS-13 gang. Mr. Garcia's lawyers and family reject those claims, however, and court filings show that he has never been charged criminally in the U.S. or in El Salvador. In today's meeting, U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi said the U.S. would provide a plane to bring Mr. Garcia back to the U.S. if El Salvador decided to return him. However, when El Salvador's president was asked if he would return Mr. Garcia, he said, and I quote, "Of course I'm not doing it," stating that he's, quote, "not very fond of releasing terrorists." Today, April 14th, is the deadline that the Trump administration set for federal agencies to propose plans to continue downsizing their workforce and potentially relocate their offices to other less costly areas in the United States. In February, agencies were put on notice that in addition to cutting the federal workforce, the administration wanted to identify federal buildings in the D.C. area that could be sold. Agency headquarters and offices that could be relocated outside of the D.C. region include the Departments of Justice, Housing and Urban Development, and Agriculture. Meanwhile, reports show that moving federal agencies out of the D.C. area has the biggest impact on employees, as more than 17% of people employed in the D.C. area work for the federal government. To your local news, New York City Mayor Eric Adams is in the Dominican Republic today, 1 week after a deadly roof collapse at a popular nightclub in the capital city, Santo Domingo. For context, 700,000 Dominicans live in New York City, representing 8% of its population. According to officials, the death toll from the roof collapse in the Dominican Republic has now risen to 231. Crews were able to rescue 189 people from the rubble, and 12 are still hospitalized, three of whom are in critical condition. After arriving in the Dominican today, Mayor Adams first met with police and other local authorities and then visited the site of the collapse, the Jet Set nightclub. The mayor is scheduled to attend a mass this evening. Meanwhile, authorities are still investigating the cause of the roof collapse, which was not immediately clear. In the D.C. area, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser is offering her recommendations for the district's Safe and Beautiful Task Force. This task force, which the president established last month, hopes to target metro fare evasion, clear the city's homeless encampments, and crack down on crime. In a letter outlining her recommendations to Homeland Security Council Director Orville Green, Mayor Bowser started with a, quote, "urgent budgetary request, since the financial future of the district is in limbo after the U.S. House of Representatives failed to pass a bill that would ensure D.C. received the funding that was cut last month." Mayor Bowser said the budget cuts undermine D.C.'s ability to, quote, "fund critical services, including police, fire and emergency medical services, public schools, and transit operations." In her letter, Mayor Bowser also recommended increasing U.S. Park Police patrols, specifically along the Baltimore-Washington Parkway, George Washington Parkway, and Suitland Parkway. In today's weather, it's currently about 61 degrees in New York and 74 degrees in D.C. That's all for your headline news this hour. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Please be safe and thank you for listening. WPFW.